I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
It sounds fine.
Here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, mine was super.
Do I sound weird?
Loud.
You always sound weird.
Delia, you have a way of making me feel so insecure.
Really? I hope that's not true. That's not true, is it? I was just joshing.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, sorry.
It sounded like glass shattering.
No, I
pulled it out in case you like got a beer, just because you gotta use this.
Man, okay,
but you went water. So
on the reels, it like bums me out that I can't drink beer. There's so many different kinds of beer, and it's like the cheapest alcoholic beverage you can buy. Like, I really wish I could drink it without feeling sick.
Okay, so like, what kind of sick? You say you have
like just immediately nauseous.
Really?
Yeah, immediately. And if I have more than one, I'm absolutely throwing up everything that's inside of me by the end of the day.
Have you turned 30 yet?
No.
Okay, because that kind of stuff happened to me when I got into my 30s. That's why I haven't drank anything for a long, long time, because I would get sick before I got drunk.
I do think it has something to do with my hormones, though.
Hmm.
Because I am a monster when I'm drunk. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I am kind of, actually.
Like a party monster?
Or no, just like a mean, like a person you don't want around feels destructive.
Maybe your body picked up on it and it's just trying to stop you.
Maybe. Hey, that's a good point. I think I've probably been in a better headspace since I've started drinking less.
Your biology really cares about your street reputation, you know?
You're so in tune with
I mean, it does.
Self.
I mean, to a certain extent, it does do that, you know? Like, the year before, when I went to the doctor and they were like, hey, if you have more sugar, you're going to get diabetes. That was my body telling me, like, yeah, slow down on the sugar, huh? And so now I, like, totally changed the entire sugar content of my, you know, life. I mean, I used to eat, like, candy bars every night.
Dude, that's crazy. You know, I didn't know that about you, and I've known you for years. It's insane how long we've known each other and probably don't know that much about each other at
Can
all.
I just tell you, too, that, like, I learned more about you watching Getting It On?
Getting Into It.
Watching you Getting It On with that guy? Than I've ever known about you before.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're same, very similar letters. But
getting
yeah.
Getting It On. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the spin-off.
Getting Into It. That's what it was.
Yeah, that was a great...
Getting Into It.
That was so good.
It's a fun show.
Yeah.
It's a good concept.
I liked them. They're adorable.
It was...
I only think one of them is adorable.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll never say who.
I was like, no, I legitimately think both of them are equally as adorable, mm-hmm. so I appreciate the idea that you think only one of them is.
I wouldn't use that word to describe both of them, at least.
Huh. Right on.
Wait, what's the word you would use to describe the other one?
Would to describe both of them?
Or? No, like...
You don't have to tell
them,
us who's who.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us who's who, but one of them's
and also,
cute
I will
and the
totally
other one's...
not start out. This is not on the podcast.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I would tell them this to their faces. Because I think... So, like, Louis is much more of, like, a grown adult... looking person. And Nathaniel looks like a little Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Little twinkle.
I mean, don't give away who's cute.
No. I mean, like, those are the differences.
Yeah,
so I just wouldn't describe either of them with those kinds of words. It's just, it feels wrong either way.
Oh,
it feels wrong either way.
How old is Louis?
He's 37. My age. He's, 37. I'm 38. He's turning 38 because we're like 3 months apart.
Yeah, Louis like a Archie Bunker.
I got in the habit of legitimately laughing that way, so it's real.
That was a crazy laugh.
And I can't.
I like it.
That was so good. It was
Pick
so genuine,
one.
Though, when it came out.
Also, it's helpful. It sounds good on the recording.
Yeah.
Like the closer you lean to the mic when you do it, it's good, too.
I told my husband that I was turning the mic towards Delia because she was the quietest, and he was like, do you not realize that mic is a 360 mic? I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, So he's like, so you're literally doing nothing.
It's a great looking microphone. If only people could see this microphone.
It's nice. Well, yeah, like, we're taking photos. So
it's got like a crown around it, like a double crown.
Well, just like the color. It's like a deep periwinkle.
Deep periwinkle.
I've often tried to get an image of just the microphone and one of us behind it, you know, kind of blurry, really pretty, but my phone can't do that.
Yeah, my phone's
see what I can do.
Yeah, because it's especially it's a with really this nice new app microphone. I just got. Yeah, it's good.
So. Yeah, I swear we're not pranking you. This isn't a prank show. We're not going to pull out too much tuna or anything.
I would totally do a prank show.
Hey, no, Nick Kroll. Okay, no, nope, Nick Kroll.
Prank I was show. Like, God damn it. So my question was that I wanted to have recorded was, have you guys seen the movie Don't Think Twice yet?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Anyone? Mm-hmm. No one? Oh, okay. It's amazing in a way that is like... It validates being an improviser so intensely.
I've heard the opposite.
It's so crazy. No, no, no. By validates, I mean, I know what people are saying about it. But what I'm telling you is that it creates a world. It essentially shows, validates in my mind, what I mean by that is to the world who doesn't know it exists.
Yeah.
There's a movie now.
That's cool.
That they can watch and go, and so I can go, have you seen that movie? That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like that, that people, just regular old people, can see. And I can say, this is what my life is like. That's it. That's mm-hmm. the life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the goods and the bads, and it's about teamwork. It's about friendship. And yeah, they go through stuff because it's a movie and that's what happens in movies.
Okay.
But like, you know.
Then let me counter question pose.
No.
Do you think there's some value to it being ours? And not sharing that, what it's like, with everyone else.
I mean, improv in and of itself is a living in the moment experience. So, like, we can't actually, in the truest sense, show them what it feels like or what it really is in the, like, larger art sense or in the larger, like, philosophical sense even. Because, like, improv for me is so much more than just, like, a performance method. Like, when people don't take it seriously, it hurts me, but I try to let them be who they are. But at the same time, it's, like, for me, it's almost like my religion. You know what I mean? The idea of living in the moment and the idea of being, like, this right here is the most important thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever else I'll deal with when it happens. But, like... this is it, and this is great, and this is how. And I guess that's another thing is that, like, that's the sort of live theater versus film sort of whatever that I'm, like, the threshold that I'm crossing as well in my life that's different and weird. But I do feel like what it captured was a theater, a group of people who, like, are working hard on something, when an audience is good, when an audience is bad, and the relationships of people in the world that we have. We were talking about improv as like a team sport, you know what I mean? Where you can't, one person isn't the star, everybody's the, everyone has to look good for it to work out. And real, like the later levels of acting are not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your own. You're taking care of it yourself. So it's a, I like the idea that we can show people that that style exists and that there's shows that they can watch.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's like,
you feel like it legitimizes it.
Yeah. Not even just legitimizes it, but it, I guess sort of like says, this is a thing that is in our world. It's sort of like a historical record of it existing because right now it's huge in a way that was never huge before. And it's like, great that it now some person in wherever can be like, oh, is that what improv is? Instead of having preconceived notions. I can't tell you the number of level ones I've taught where people think I'm going to do something much different than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them quit. And some of them just come up to me and go like, wait, what is this? And so I just like the idea that I can be like, check that out. That shows you what yeah. happens.
Yeah, it's weird when you realize that kind of everything about improv, when you realize that that's been such a big part of your life for as long as it has, it kind of strikes a strange chord. Because it does, it has been up until now a thing I feel like was made me different, made me feel like outside of most people I knew. Like, it's not even a mainstream versus underground kind of thing. It's just like a, oh, I'm a different creature. Like, I feel like I'm just a
You're still a different creature. Spirit. Whether or not they know what kind of creature you are.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely true. But that's like a, that's a whole other thing, I feel like. But as far as being an improviser, it was just a thing that only other improvisers understood. And like, you felt, that's how, why you felt such a connection to everybody in your classes and the people you met and saw doing shows, because you're like, well, I don't know anybody else who would even understand that, thus, like, do it. So.
Yeah, that makes me think of, like, liking a band just because it's obscure, you know?
Yeah.
Being like, I'm the only person who knows about this band.
Right, but it's, in that case, if you're going to compare it to that, it would not be about the bands, it would be about the other people that like those bands.
All right. Right on. Interesting. So it's like you found your tribe and you just wish your tribe was less public. I mean, it's not public.
No. I don't wish that. I don't wish that it was less public. It's an observation I've made up until this point of the way that I understand improv to be and why I like it.
I've seen the movie and I can't imagine that this movie is really, I don't know, gonna convince people to follow the path if they weren't already gonna follow the path.
True.
I mean, it's very ups and downs. Like I said, it's a movie by Mike Birbiglia, which means it's like 10% comedy, 90% drama.
I think I liked his first, that movie I saw, the one
Sleepwalk with Sleepwalking. Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
That was a good movie. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really
good. I like his, the way that he can combine stand up and storytelling in a way that nobody else really can. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to even score. Whenever you see that in out in the wild, out at a show or anything, it almost just throws off the balance of the rest of the show.
Totally.
Just like I don't care. I want jokes. Give me jokes. But I think he does such a great job, and his people know who he is now, so it's a lot easier for him to do that. Because you were mentioning,
that's true.
I think
that's,
you were mentioning previously that you had seen his like Comedy Central like 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and that it was a lot. There were a lot of jokes within that, as opposed to now where he is on This American Life telling stories and can combine comedy with it, so it strikes a chord with you.
But he did This American Life very early on. He was doing a secret public journal, and that was the way, it was a blog, and then he got on doing storytelling on This American Life years ago, long before he's famous to the level that he is now.
Right. No, I'm just saying that you had mentioned that in his 30 minutes, he used to have a lot more jokes, and over time, he has just become able to combine storytelling and jokes into one massive ball, let's say, instead of it being so many jokes, like a typical stand-up would do.
Yeah, he's very patient. And, like, I don't know, when I think about his first movie, like, I think about his first movie every time I'm, like, broke because I chose to do comedy instead of work. And I'm just like, okay, there's like, a level of intensity that it could hit.
Yeah, man, being broke fucking sucks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, I'm just like, okay, I don't have a car, but at least I'm not living in one. It's, like, kind of where, like, I feel like that's where the point I'm just gonna, like, that's when I'll start getting scared about doing comedy.
Yeah.
Well, to that end, then, I guess my question would be, like, what steps are you planning to take or willing to take, whatever way you'd like to take the question, to move your comedy career to, like, getting money for it?
I was thinking about this recently, just because I definitely have a job that... I wouldn't want to do the job of what I'm doing now for the rest of my life. I know that for certain. But, excuse me. But, I know it's a good job for my situation, which is, like, I'm trying to do comedy as much as I can, but I don't want to, like, not have an apartment. It's been nice to feel less stress and, like, be paid a living wage to live a normal lifestyle. That's nice. It's been a good break from all the bullshit. But I also miss the bullshit in a lot of senses. So, like, I've been telling myself that I'm going to stop. I'm going to, while I have this job, I have to get my materials together, edit together more current and, like, approachable reel I can submit for auditions. And, like, actually work on my resume, not just, like, change the font a little bit, delete yeah. some things. Like, really work on it and, like, list out the stuff I think is most representative of my style. And I really would, you know, just, I would like to get an agent, so that's my next thing. I would like to submit stuff to an agency. And then, like, just fucking do every single one of those auditions. Every single one. Until something lands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really what I want to do. So I would probably quit my job and, like, have to get, like, a part-time thing I could just go in and out of.
Yeah, I work at a temp agency.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can not work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get an audition.
So I wonder, in that sense, because you're just using your current employer to push forward, like, what you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, because I remember during getting into it, you had mentioned that when you were younger, you used to just try to make yourself laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's an end game for you? Like, I'm just going to try to make money or reach where I'm, like, a household name? Or is it just, I just want to entertain myself?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely mostly about me.
Okay.
Like, I just, yeah, dude, I think when you spend enough time feeling outside of your own world, and not connected to many people or many things, or, like, not being able to relate to most of the people you know. You spend enough time that way, you want to cling to the thing that makes you feel like a part of your life, like, makes you feel included into something big. You really cling to it. So I think keeping it in my life in any way, shape, any form is the main goal, because it makes me happy. And I don't know, I don't know who I am outside of it.
Yeah.
Like, I have that thought a lot, too. It's like, because I couldn't identify with a lot of stuff in my coming of age and as a young adult or whatever. Now as an adult, it's like, I've made this my identity, and I've, like, grown into that as, like, a mold for the kind of person I want to be. Which is crazy, because then you think, like, well, I haven't tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried everything else, but I don't even know what I would like. I don't know if anything else is, like, what it's even like, or if I would like it, or what my opinion of it, all that stuff is.
Like being an archaeologist or something.
Yes, or I've thought about, I really, like, just right outside of it, I thought about going to school for art at some point, but, like, art history and curating and that kind of thing. I would love to work in a museum. I'm all about mm-hmm. that shit.
That's fine.
But, like, not really, though. Like, if I was actually doing that now, I respect it enough that I would have to focus all my energy on it, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't even, comedy or performing, even be there. Like, there would be no room for it. Because that's the kind of life I want to lead. It's just, like, where I'm super fucking focused on the thing that I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters.
See, for me, if comedy doesn't work out, I'm thinking, like, Olympic rollerblading is kind of, that's my fallback. That's the only other thing that I ever, like,
ever really got me.
Is there a delay?
Yeah, is there a delay in your headphones?
I think because I was thinking about what you mean it said, and then maybe there is a delay. Yeah.
Sure. Even your reaction is delayed, dude.
Whoa. Yeah, no, like, I totally know what you mean as far as, like, feeling like an outsider and that kind of, like, I don't know, like, I grew up in South Carolina and I was not doing anything any of the dudes around me were doing, and it was just weird. But I got over that really quickly. I just was, like, kind of like what you said, a different creature. In my head, a better creature. That's, like, what I kept saying. I was like, I'm just above this. It's okay. but then I, you know, for the first time after moving here, I just found a bunch of, like, similar people. And,
sorry, dude.
I don't know, like, was music ever a thing? Like, I think the only other thing that I ever really, like, did or really liked to do besides, like, make people laugh was, play.
Play music? What do you play? Saxophone?
Yeah.
Saxophone?
I recently just got a saxophone that I am very scared to like pick up because it's the I'm best. Sound terrible. The
saxophone is a badass instrument.
Dude, as soon as the Clinton administration starts, it's going to become the hottest thing for the next 4 years.
It's just fucking great. It makes every song it's in better.
And it also has a lot of comedy potential too, I think. Exactly. I think like,
your impression of the saxophone.
Sounds like a cat.
Wait.
I can't sing. It's not a secret.
Whoa.
No, it was adorable.
Someone's taking a
photo. No.
God, you're going to get mad.
That's what it's going to sound
harassing
like the first time I'm blown
into it. Harassing you is our friendship. That's what we're doing.
I would be more afraid if I did not get harassed.
What?
I mean, verbally, not sexually. Oh, God. Oh, what have God. I done?
I was like, it's only Wendell, and anyone who's ever listened to one of our podcasts knows that he's not sexually harassing anyone.
Yeah.
What?
I just don't feel like I can harass anything. Like, even a regular... I couldn't harass a squirrel.
Is this what
like,
you... Is this the snack you got?
I got this, and then there's trail mix
there's
here in the cup.
Baller-ass trail
it's
mix.
It's really good.
It's chocolate and pretzels.
Salty and sweet. But there's also, like, a lot of... The trail mix is, has some salty and sweet.
Okay.
Beware
I love,
of nuts.
I love
in
these
case
things.
Nuts are weird.
I love these things.
Pumpkin seeds.
Are they pumpkin
seeds?
Yeah,
they're pumpkin. Is
I think
so?
Difference between a pumpkin seed and a pepita.
What's a pepita?
I think a pepita is a sunflower seed. Wait. Is it sunflower seed what you just said?
No.
No, pumpkin seed.
Yeah.
Wait.
I don't know what that is.
It sounds like a sandwich.
No. I mean, I'm just like...
No, I'm
I can see
about.
It. No, I'm just trying to look. I'm imagining the container holding them and
someone's
trying to see
look
what
that
the...
shit up. You're going to bother us for this.
No, we don't look anything up. We
yeah,
just
no.
deal with it.
Yeah.
This is pre-Google. We've done entire podcasts telling our audience things that turned out later to not be true, so we're cool with it.
Oh, my goodness.
We're like, yeah, that was the guy. Yes. And we look it up later, like, by the way, everyone, that's not who the guy is.
So, can I ask you a follow-up? Because you had mentioned that the only other thing that you dug was music. So it makes me wonder, is your ultimate thing comedy, or is it just acting in general?
Acting in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I love comedy so much, but I just want to fucking be emoting to the max.
And then my other question was, do you just view comedy as like an avenue to like push your acting?
No, because I do sometimes feel like it's a different, the way I do comedy, I feel like it's a different vein in the same body, kind of.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the way I approach acting is really different. Because I really need to put myself somewhere as an actor. And in improv, it's like, you're not about putting yourself there. It's about just getting there together. And not preparing for it.
When you say put yourself there, is it like, sometimes I have a really hard time acting.
Am I talking like I'm Miles Davis or something? Am I like... Am I just, like, making up my own, like, syntax to words and let me, like, because it's cool, but it's going
to be cool. Sometimes the dove falls off the cliff.
I just think it's a broader term, and he's...
Yeah, no, I just was...
I'm going to keep eating this. I hope it's not
Yeah, it's for you.
I have a, like, I'm not prone to get, like, visibly angry in my real life. There are certain emotions that I just abstain from, like, in a public, out loud way. Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time acting like that, genuinely, because I never do it. I never... I don't know.
The opposite.
Like, I practice it.
I would rather
in
put
private.
It on stage for everyone to watch than actually do it. I cry more on stage than I do in real life.
You don't have to deal with that shit.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Is like I never am really like sad, like outwardly like sobbing or anything like that, or like or very confrontationally aggressive. So I was just like I go off what I've seen other people do, and I try to like mimic that.
Well, that's a valid point of view, really. I mean, some actors do that. Some actors feel like they have to really feel it deep down inside. And then some people feel like they just create a picture and people are just viewing that picture, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that when I teach emotions in improv class, they are, I have to explain both sides of it, because some people really are open to the idea of feeling the feelings, and some people are really very much not. And so I need to show them a way they can do it and show their scene partners what they mean without them having to feel the emotions. Now, I want to feel the emotions, and that's actually been my jam recently. Like,
My only improv troupe is Dirty Sunshine, but whenever I'm with them, I try to really like be as full emotion as I can, like really feel it. Like when things are going on, I want to be like, oh my God, you really made me feel like that in the moment. And the other day I had a scene with Eliana, and it was like, I don't know what happened. I was real excited about me and this girl sharing a cubicle. And then she was like, I'm moving cubicles. And my heart sank, like in real life. It sank like in real life. And the rest of the scene, I was so sad for that whole thing. And we just lived it. And afterwards, they were all like, it was so fun. That was so great. Authentic. And I was like, I felt it. Like, I felt it in a way that I had never felt it before. And I feel like a lot of times, that's what the issue is it's like you just gotta keep chipping away at the wall. We all got a wall. I'm not like sharing too many deep feelings, though I suppose I've shared a few deep feelings with friends recently, and that sort of breaks down the wall a little
bit. But it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's such a good thing. No, guys. No use in putting up walls, you know? You're still gonna get fucking vermin in there making holes. Might as well let in all the good stuff.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Now you sound
vermin?
Like Miles Davis.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, like, I want to pick this apart. What are the vermin?
All sorts of things.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say because it's not just people. I don't know, like the wall can be eaten up by a lot of different things.
That being said, I was gonna say earlier that you were saying that you feel like doing comedy is something that keeps you from feeling alienated from people, and maybe, and again, one of the most interesting things to me sometimes is the idea that everyone I hang out with is 10 years younger than me, right? But the journey, just to be like, that's so interesting that's what you think. What I'm saying is, but right now, I feel more alienated making the choice to continue to be an actor and a comedian from my peers, because the people who are my age have kids, are married, they have like major careers and jobs. Mm-hmm. They're like, what do you mean you're not planning for retirement? Like, my husband and I are crazy people to most people. Mm-hmm. They're like, what? I don't understand. Like, you don't have neither of you have a regular job. There's no guarantee of income at any point. And it's like, no, we figure it out, because we do. And I've always said that to him, and I was like, we can figure this out, this is totally fine. And yeah, it's hard every time, but I would take that struggle for the benefit of being able to do whatever I want to do this to be able to be like, yeah, let's go do this project, like, hey, let's meet at noon to do this, you know? That openness is what I would give. But I've had to there's a lot of ways in which I've become distant from my closer friends that I am the same age of, because their lives are different than mine now, and they don't understand what I'm doing.
I already see it happening, man. I already see it happening with my friends.
People that continue, but the crowd gets smaller and smaller, essentially. Like, my age at the theater, people who are my age at the theater, my crowd is Louis, Chadwick, Patrick Nicely is too young. Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick's younger than you?
And, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
And who else?
I don't know if we can say this on air, but how old is True?
He's like 34.
Oh, no, he's younger. Yeah, he's 34, though. Yeah, okay. Or something, but he's still not. No, but I mean, like, Chadwick's older than me, Mark's older than me, you know what I mean? Like, whenever I'm, like, Dan Grimm, whenever I'm like, hey, so let's talk about the 70s.
You and Tammy are the same age, right?
No, Tammy is older than me.
There you go.
But Tammy exists in a ethereal
universe. Yeah, you're right. That doesn't exist. You're right about that.
Oh, never mind.
Also, if I lived in New Orleans, getting older would actually elevate me versus any other place. Like, once I'm really old, I'll just move there, and then I'll become the wise old lady and whatever.
You just house old, like, you just own like a comedy saloon, and it's just
I don't even have to have a comedy saloon. I just have to have a house.
Look at the nuts with the coding.
And,
is that what you want?
I just have to sit on the front porch and tell people, it'll be all right, sugar. Don't
worry about that. I want to call people sugar and not sound weird.
It's okay. Give yourself about 5 to 10 more years.
I think you definitely have to say sugar. Like, sugar? Yeah, sugar.
You can never say it.
But no, I definitely should. I felt weird saying it.
I think
should.
I think maybe should? Get away with should.
Okay, like if you're like a waitress. Like a waitress in a diner. late at night.
I could never. No, they wouldn't allow that.
Should get you some hot flapjacks. Should.
Yeah.
People would yell at me for that.
Man, I love boudin. It sucks. It sucks that I love meat so much. I feel bad about loving meat every day.
Why?
What's your favorite meat?
Why?
Because it's terrible for the environment.
Oh, yeah. The, like, to raise animals.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, we're terrible for the environment, too, so.
True that, man. But also, I don't know. It's like a thing I can control. You know what I mean?
What's your favorite meat?
Just fucking red, like, steak.
Like, okay. Oh, steak! Okay,
beef is your...
Actually, you know what? I love it as a tartare, though. I love raw. Okay. I love raw meat. I'm okay. Super...
Well, you're a Texan, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm Mexican. Mexican. Texican?
Hey,
Texican. Were you born in Texas or Mexico?
I was born in Texas. Okay. But my mother would often take me to Mexico growing up. And I was like super, I was just
family
more
there?
Connected to, yeah, I was definitely just more connected. I was raised by my mom, but I was definitely more connected to her side of the family. And they were all like, you know, they don't speak English. And we spent a lot of time in actual Mexico. And I just like all the traditions and Catholicism, all that bullshit, it all came from my mom. So I like identify as Mexican because I feel like I was brought up in the same culture.
What part of Mexico did you guys visit?
So my mom was born in Acapulco, and most of my cousins live in the state of Gomez and Torreon. And I have some cousins in, like, Juarez. My favorite uncle lives in Puerto Vallarta. It's like a resort town. It's like a beach resort town, which is so stupid. But it's beautiful. Yeah.
I would live in a resort town.
No, yeah,
I mean, it'd be fucking like a fucking paradise every day.
Like if you were selling me like a timeshare there, you would have had me at the name.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like I was just like, ooh, no, I got a vacation.
You know what's funny? Winter. When you guys are talking about like what I'd do if, I try to never really allow myself the idea of that. Like I'm like, no, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. There's not another option.
Mm.
You can't do something else. But And Puerto Vallarta made me think of it. I used to work in hotels.
Yeah, you would be so good at that.
I really liked working at hotels. And I kind of hit the glass ceiling of the hotels because there's really not that much you can do. But in the interest of not having that much responsibility, working front desk at a hotel in a resort town, not horrible. Because there's lots of drama and lots of insanity at hotels.
Fun.
So that's, much crazy stuff happens.
That's a plus. That's a selling point, I think.
So, I guess, being from Texas and visiting Mexico a lot, was it weird when you lived in New York? Was it just like a totally different... You lived in New York, didn't you?
Yeah, for a couple of years. Well, what's cool about New York is that it has every culture you can imagine living in this under the same umbrella kind of a thing. So the diversity,
it's so much better than any other place doing that.
Exactly. The diversity was just, it just felt right to be around a bunch of different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Because growing up, I was just around other Hispanic people. And then when I came to Austin for college, and UT was such a breath of fresh air to me. I mean, yeah, mostly white people, but also, like, white people are in the minority where I grew up. So, like, it was, like, nice to see that, and... So going to New York, it was nice to see that.
Nice to see a little
accent, you know, just a little clarifying for my general view. New York was pretty sweet because of that.
Where'd you live in New York when you lived there?
Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn. Mm. And I lived in a neighborhood called Bedford-Stuyvesant, but it goes...
Oh, good lord.
It's Bed-Stuy.
It's also really dangerous.
It used to be. It used to be, but
it's gentrified like crazy. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of it as...
With money comes protection.
Yeah, what is it? Oh, yeah. No, because I lived in New York in the early 2000s, so it's been a few years since they turned Brooklyn into something else. I'm sure where I lived in Queens is a lot fancier, too. But
Queens is nice. Queens is nice. It feels peaceful.
It feels peaceful. So funny. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I lived really close to the water and I like really am sad about that now. Like now in my life of no water, I like to imagine, and I did at the time, like go and stand there, like, you know, when you I don't know if you guys do this, but when I'm in a place and I don't know if I'm going to see it again, I'll like spend a moment to just take it in so that later it's in my memory bank and I can be like, oh yes, that's what it was. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so the water I'll always remember, but at the same time it was like, there were a lot of things about that place that I was like happy to get rid of and like wanted to move forward from and all sorts of, you know, life adventures, like anything when you're like, I'm done with this chapter of my life.
Yeah. I need to move on to the next one. You decide one day I'm done. Yeah. That's it. It's just part of life.
Yeah. It's so wild. But yeah. So whenever I think of New York, I think of Astoria and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So how was Brooklyn?
Yeah, I liked it. It was definitely like a thing to get used to at first because I could feel the tension because a lot of people there are like resentful of people from out of state moving there, taking advantage of like, you know, the trends or whatever, and like not assimilating to the lifestyle and not like getting to know surroundings, because most of the people that live in those neighborhoods, their families have lived there for like generations. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these strangers kind of trying to infiltrate the culture and like make this place theirs, but without being respectful of the history. Like, we're all just kind of putting up like shoe stores in a place that used to be like there during wartime, like that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was weird. But I like anything, you can just get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got used to living there. And I kind of miss like riding the subway. It's an insane thing.
No, I think that all the time. I've actually found that I will watch Broad City to kind of remember, because like I feel like Broad City is the only show that like acknowledges some of the like bad parts about New York, along with the good. Where like in the first episode, there's something like, "Do you want to come over?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I mean, I could get there in 4 hours." Yeah, it's like, that's legit. That's so for real. Like, there's nothing untrue about that. If your friend lives in Brooklyn and you live in Queens and you need to get there, there's not, like, a direct train from one to that. You have to go all the way through Manhattan and then over.
It's such a grind.
But it's so great. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you're right. I miss that, too. I'd stand on a train for 2 hours if it meant I could do the things that I could do there.
Like, it was cool doing it on your own, too. Like, it just gave you this, like, little pop of independence that, like, you to take ownership of. Like, yeah, I'm an individual person. I'm getting myself around. Don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't need a car. I didn't own a car for most of my, like, 20s because of it. It was like, I don't need to own this.
Sure. I keep trying to figure out how the bus system works. I knew! I'm going to start with buses, and then I'm going to go to trains.
Wait. Yes. Google Maps does like everything for you. Like, there's literally. But I don't
want to do it that way.
Wait, what's your question?
Buses? No, if you just gotta speak.
It's not a question. It's just that you were talking about independence.
You're very passionate about the bus system.
And how, like, yeah, you feel independent doing that, and like, yeah, I want to figure that out myself.
Yeah.
Without using Google Maps, and I'll use it as a, I guess I would use it as a reference point when the time comes down to it.
I mean, there's apps for the subway in New York, and there's also maps everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're winging it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
no, I understand that. It still gives me so much trouble because I've never done it before. So it's
What are your main questions about like bus travel?
Bus travel or train travel? I'm gonna be honest. Like, I would say fewer people use the buses in New York than do the trains, because usually you can go there and then there's a lot of walking.
I think
there's an excessive amount of walking.
I understand that, I'm just using buses as an example because here you don't really use a train a lot. I'm trying to tackle it in the sense of like going for a bus first because it's more readily available to me now as opposed to trying an actual train. So it's like, okay, well, if I can figure out how to do the bus thing, then I can just go and figure out a train. I understand that they're different, but it's like, I figured this one thing out. This thing can't be that much more different.
Yeah, totally.
But I still...
You'd mentioned in the past that you were into the bus. Haven't you taken the bus before?
I have taken the bus before, and I've allotted myself 2 hours to get to where I was trying to go. Because when I did use the map, it said, oh, it'll take you 45 minutes to get there. And I thought, no, well, I know myself, and I get lost all the time. And I had to take an Uber or a Lyft the rest of the way. I was actually very close. I was like 5 minutes away from work. I was like, God damn, I was so close.
The way you like started that whole story, it was like there was an asshole bus somewhere nearby and you wanted it to hear. Like, like I allotted myself 2 hours to get there and still could not be delivered properly, you know?
Yeah.
Damn rogue bus.
Yeah, there's just one.
You guys like, been outside. On that rogue bus?
I've been on the rogue bus.
Fuck that rogue bus.
I've been on buses in places where, like, it takes you way far away, and then you're like, oh no, what's happening right now? The longer I've spent in New York, the easier it became, to the point where I even went to the airport on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bus right near my train station. I was 10 blocks from the train station. There was a bus that would take you right to LaGuardia. But you had to know where you were going, because you just did. But it was like... So once I figured that out, I mean, it freed up everything. I never had to even get a taxi to the damn airport. It was so great.
Yep. I just want to say, this is really fun. And that's what invited me.
Oh, we're happy to have you, Nina.
It's like such a nice thing to be able to just talk.
Yeah.
Because, like, nobody does it anymore, you guys. That's why people fucking listen to podcasts. Like, we almost forgot what we sound like when we have conversations. It's all fucking text messages and Facebook.
That's why we don't Google anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we'll get caught in it. I remember when Pokemon Go came, Wendell tried to make us look at the map on his phone. I was like, get away from me.
Death. Just kidding. I don't really have that strong of an opinion.
So when we first started, Yumina, you had said to me, we've known each other for so long, but we don't really know each other. And I think that that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, I don't know, what's your journey been like? I feel like we had the same sort of TNM years journey. How do you feel? What are you doing?
I mean, I have so many thoughts and so many memories.
Yeah.
Is this going to be boring for you guys? Talk about...
No, they're fine.
Yeah,
no.
Where are we going?
Interject if you have a question.
We're just going to mime another conversation.
Just
peas and carrots, guys. Peas and carrots.
It's so crazy, man. Like, okay, so... What year graduating class were you?
Number. Oh, I was the third.
Okay, so you graduated before me. Me and Michael. I think when I met you, I already had the idea that you were a superior in some way. And maybe you weren't. Maybe you just, like, graduated classes, but, like...
Yeah, I don't think so.
The thing about you is that you have this, like, presence of, like, complete authority. Mm. That's the thing about you. Every time I'm, like, around you, I'm like, Amy's in charge. Amy's fucking always in charge. So, forget Charles, because Amy's in town.
Oh my god, I'm going to do a parody called Amy in Charge.
Please do it, because it's so true. That's how I always kind of felt about you. And so, probably as a youth, I was very intimidated by you. And you have, like, you have a big personality, and when you're on stage, you're like, fuck it, 100%.
No, you're so sweet.
And that's really hard to learn to do. I think that's just something you have, which you do. But yeah, I think I just always kind of just conditioned myself to thinking we were in different leagues in a lot of ways. But I just felt like a new generation, even though like we started at the same time.
Yeah, plus now we're just OG together.
Now,
with all these
definitely
noobs.
Now. Definitely now we're OG because my knees hurt. Am I right? Up top. I just gave myself a high five, you guys.
She didn't even wait for anybody to try to high five with her. Yeah. She just wanted to go for it herself.
Right.
Oh, no, that's funny.
But, no. And, yes, I think just forever we've just been in different, like, you know how fucking TNM does this thing? Well, not just TNM, any kind of, like, theater organization, where, like, everybody clicks off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And most of it has to do with your class. Because, like, you go to class and you're there. You're with those people so much, like, you spend so much more time with people in your classes than you do with everyone else. So, you get close faster. Those all just become kind of, like, subgroups of the large group.
Yeah.
And we were different ones, for sure.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. When you were talking about, I always feel a little apart no matter what group, even though this thing is so much more connecting, which again is why I prefer being on stage to not being on stage, because when I'm on stage, and even like when we're doing this, we're all fully connected to one another.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's not like, you know, we're listening to each other, we're part of the journey of our conversation, whatever it is, but then as soon as we're not, I feel distant from everyone. I feel like separate. Being older doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
And having the same reaction from my other friends too, of essentially feeling other from them, sort of has always made me feel like that. So sometimes I think I'm putting that out. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm doing that. That's my own little defense mechanism.
Dude, I know. I think about that shit all the time. I'm like, the thing that I'm, like, most, like, paranoid about, I'm like, it's probably because I'm paranoid about it. That's the only reason. It's like, because I'm, like, emanating this fear.
Yeah.
And people can smell that on you, and they're just like, I'm going to get around that. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to avoid it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. We all just kind of, I think we're emotional people, too. So, we're like, wearing all that out in the open, on your sleeve, however the phrase is. Can be daunting for some people who are like struggle with their personal space, struggle with their own emotional stability, don't know how to like really address that or like make peace with it.
Yeah.
It all comes from insecurities too. So when you're the kind of person that's like, I can emote this and it's easy, it's natural, it's my second nature for me to just show you my feelings immediately and how I feel about everything, about every moment. And that's too much for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy to close off, move away, and not make it your problem. Because connecting is a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, being connected to somebody else. And most people are just like, nah, I'd rather be just kind of alone. kind of lonely.
Do you ever feel like, almost immediately if you're going to be able to work well with somebody? Like, how do you do working with other people like that? Because you mentioned the connectedness and stuff, and I was just wondering, like, I know you did stuff with like Vanessa before and Gloria's, like, did that friendship spark up like pretty quickly? Was it
they were in the same class?
They were in the same class.
Okay.
Your class is awesome, by the way.
I had a great
what a great class.
Oh man, those are the golden days, you know?
Totally.
And we were not that good. I'm like super okay with that. Like, I know we were not a good improv troupe. But we fucking loved each other.
No. That is what makes it.
We had so much fun. We had so much fun together.
It was great. No, it was great.
We're like it was a great thing. Yeah, and because of class, because of what I was talking about earlier, just getting close to people so quickly. Yeah. I just felt like we were family. And it's very easy to trust someone that you feel, like, so akin to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, we always kind of joked around about being, like, sisters and stuff, and I mean, and also, you know, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm sure just being a couple of the few Hispanic people in the scene is a thing, like, kind of, like, oh, yeah, you know, we got power, power to the people, that kind of thing. Is it? It's a factor, for sure. And I actually was in a sketch group with both Vanessa and Danu, called the Latino Comedy Project.
Nice.
We did that for a while. And now we have our reunion show this year. And we're doing it at Out of Bounds.
Awesome.
Wrote a whole new show.
That's wonderful.
About gentrification. We were just talking about that. Yeah. So, should be fun. And anyway, yeah. I was like, and by the way, come see this show. I was actually talking about something very personal.
That's so funny. But that's, okay, that in and of itself, what just happened, is I think why we're a little unusual as people, because we are split between like deep feeling inner ideas and promoting shows and being like and being the person who's like, hey everybody, who's
always
really
on.
Excited, like, always, you know, and then if you're the host and then you have to go be in a show, it's like totally changing the way that you're connecting, right? Because at first you're like, hey big crowd of people. And then you are like, hey, let's be connected in this, like, tiny moment. And even though I'm aware they're watching me, we're going to be, you know, totally connected. And it's such a different... Having both abilities, I think, affects real-life situations.
Dude, I think maybe we don't know each other that well, but I do know that about you. It's like, you really understand that. You really understand connecting to somebody else and, like, what that feels like and, like, being like, why that's also hard. Like, I can tell that you have, like, an emotional, like, life. And that's not everybody does, and that's why I was kind of curious, because I don't know you guys that well either, and I feel like you're both kind of probably way more reserved than that with your feelings.
Yes.
Yes and no, though, Delia. 18 episodes just in, died. You said a lot of good.
Wendell just died of anxiety when he was asking that question.
Oh, man. No, no, no.
Yeah, no, you nailed that.
Accurate.
No, he's laughing at Delia's characteristically yes. curt responses.
Yes.
I'm expressive. Like, I don't know. Like, especially... I've always just, I'm the class clown in all my other social circles, and, or, like, I'm the funny guy, as opposed, like, at the theater, like, I was just always that guy, but it's, I think it's me just doing stuff to be funny. I don't think, like, me, myself, my emotions aren't really out there a whole lot now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always fucking around. I'm always, like, cracking wise and yeah. not taking it seriously,
right.
but, like, I'm never really, like, trying to be out there.
I'm gonna be very bold with this opinion, but I wholeheartedly believe it. Getting in touch with that emotional life is gonna make you a good improviser.
Yeah.
Like a great yeah. improviser. That's the thing that's probably missing for you if you ever yeah. feel dissatisfied with anything you do on stage.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're talking about. Connecting. Connecting is yeah. a thing that like takes you to the next level. It's just something because you don't see it every day.
Right.
And it's so intimate. It's such a personal thing. It's like you don't have a fucking lens on everybody's lives all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And that's what makes improv so special. It's that moment that everybody is experiencing together and nobody will ever experience again. Mm-hmm. That's what yeah. it's about. So if you're like cut off emotionally, then you're not really feeling that. You're not really yeah. giving yourself over
right.
to the other person in the crowd, you know? It's all totally. About that experience, dude. Gotta get in there.
You gotta just do
gotta
it.
Get it on. There, guys. Gotta get it on.
Massage your way in there.
Here's a question. how do you feel like the way that you looked at improv when you first started versus the way that you look at it now? Because you're talking about as if you're on the cusp of something. And I don't know what you, if you actually have know what's on the edge. Yeah, because you were like...
What do I sound like?
Earlier you said something like, I've felt this way up until now. But you didn't inform us of what the now indicated in the way of like, later I'll be feeling something different.
Was it about being reserved with your feelings or?
No. This was earlier and I was just thinking like, how do you feel like
let's play that back.
Too difficult, I know.
Maybe if you stand up, wait a couple seconds and then sit back down again.
What? Why would that do anything?
Because it initiates your spatial memory.
Oh, fuck. My back is so fucked. That's how I know I'm old. Anyway.
Essentially, my question is, how is improv, when you first started, for you as a performer, different than it is now? I mean, you went to school, you came back. You had a whole experience, and now the scene's even different. How is the scene and your part in it different than it was back then, let's say?
Well, the only way I can really explain that is saying, well, it's not so much improv, but I guess it is improv. I just feel, when I was talking about identifying with something, I just feel like improv has just become just a part of me. Like, it is just part of me no matter what I do now. I'm, like, at that point where I've done it for so long, it's like... It's almost like my motor skills are conditioned to do object work. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, this is how I talk all the time. And like, and I just always feel like the way I think when I'm in improv scenes is now just the way I think about my day-to-day life and the way I interact with people. It's like I'm building on the last thing they said to me. You know what I mean? Like, and it forces me to be way more aware of other people too, because of that. And I feel like I've grown as a person since the first day I started doing improv till now. I feel like I'm way more open and, like, comfortable with myself and, like, know that I, like, belong here. Like, and that sounds so cheesy. I mean, like, Radiohead, straight up. But
who? Delia hates Radiohead, so if you do too, you've just made a friend.
Oh, talk about like, anyway, remember you were saying that people like music only because it's obscure?
Uh-huh.
Delia's probably one of those people who's like, I just don't like anything because everyone likes things.
No.
That's not true.
No. No, I'm just kidding. You're wearing an opposites t-shirt. You care about opposites.
Yeah.
yeah, that's how I've changed. I feel like it's definitely just more, again, it's about me.
You're talking about being emotional and stuff and connecting, and I think while I find that I can be reserved, but I don't think that I necessarily am all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that improv has helped me a lot with that. used to just feel a lot of guilt all the time for things that I can't control. Mm-hmm. Just feeling bad of, oh, I said this to that person and I wish I would have been able to do it a different way. Or I would have, like, been able to, like, appease them in some type of way. And now, Aaron Walter coaches one of the troops that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And he's really great and I like him a lot. And he had mentioned how, like, it's like saying no in a scene. Like, say yes until you can figure out when to say no. Mm. And that's how I feel in life and with improv a little bit now. Like, I don't necessarily feel bad about feeling any certain way. Like, I would rather like everybody all of the time, but I don't, and you can't control it. And it's just like, yeah, I don't like you, and I'm going to own that, and just, I'm not going to apologize for that, and I'm going to own...
You. I'm
trying it, and it's very hard, and in scenes, I feel like I can feel things more on stage than I would if I wasn't. Mm. So that's really nice to break out and be able to do that. Also, because it's like that clean slate of nobody has any idea what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do up here, and I'm not in any type of box, and if anybody had any preconceived notion of me, then it can go away now. Yeah. Because I can do whatever, and those are the best moments for me when it's like, oh shit, everybody just laughed at that. I don't even know what I did, but great. so I think that's becoming a thing, and I used to just always be terrified before shows, and now it's like, I've done it. I'm still scared, but it's walking that line of being very scared and loving being that scared.
Yeah, dude, for sure. You gotta embrace it, man.
It's so funny because different from my relationship with you, Yumina, where I feel like, you know, we're Rosewood age, so we're like part of the same crowd.
Rosewood age! So good.
When I think of like Delia's telling this story, and I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? You were exactly who you needed to be the day you walked in. I remember the day you walked into the theater, and you walked into that theater alone. You weren't with someone. You didn't come to a show. You walked in and were like, hi, I would like to be part of this theater. And it was like, yeah. You took it. You, like, walked in, and you were like, this is what I want. And what's really great is that, like, being able to be part of the journeys of certain people and, like, watch them develop in that way. Yeah, and it's, man. and it's like, you're crazy ambitious. Like not only improv, but also, like, sketch. Multiple sketch shows. Multiple. Not sketch shows that other people have put you in, that you've put on yourself.
Because people weren't putting me in stuff.
Are you kidding me? No way.
And so I was like, you know what? I'll solve this problem.
That's the way it goes, though. Yeah, that's why you've succeeded, because that's the way it goes.
But yeah, I mean, you've gotta create what you're doing, and you're just creating constantly, and the output continues at such a high level that it's like, come on, you know, this is, you're great.
It's very sweet. How are you feeling, Yumina?
Oh, good. How are fucking both?
Doesn't handle.
Yeah, she doesn't like confidence.
Delia doesn't like confidence.
That's something I definitely know about her.
Yep, that's a thing.
These Cheez-Its. Good job, Amy. They're real good.
Yep.
You were great in Adventure, Delia. I'm trying to make you explode now.
What do you think about them, Yumina?
I don't know. They kind of taste like pizza.
Maybe that's why my husband doesn't like them, but yeah. I don't know.
He doesn't like pizza?
No, he loves pizza, but, like, sometimes fake pizza-flavored stuff he's not into. He'll eat combos all day, but pizza-flavored not so much.
The pizza-flavored combos are weird.
Yeah, they're a little weird.
See, I'm normally... Those are Ritz, right?
No. Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Yeah, I normally hate them.
Me too.
But these...
Me too, dude.
These have like a nacho cheddar cheese kind of like thing going on. Cheddar Jack.
Write it down. Yeah,
no, I'm about it. Like, I don't like baked cheese.
Which is nice.
Do you like Goldfish, Yumina?
I only like the Parmesan ones.
Okay, see?
Fancy.
You guys don't even know how fancy I am.
Do you eat Pepperidge Farm cookies?
Yeah, I like Milano's.
Those are the greatest things.
No, but you
ever.
Guys, Chessmen are good too.
Oh boy,
Chessmen are fucking good.
I don't know the names of them.
And there's the like
they're too rich for my blood.
They're so good.
Yeah, I stretch a box or like that bag thing of Milano's out for like a week. I ration.
Oh my god,
them,
that's
like,
hilarious! You'd be lucky if I could last an hour.
I'm so no like guys. It's just like that's a luxury item. That's like those
dark chocolate acai berries that
oh my god, like 20 minutes for a bag of those.
Yeah. That's
why I can't even purchase them anymore. Mm-hmm. I only buy snacks to hang out with you guys. I like can't have it any other time.
Sweet tooth. They should call you Sweet Tooth Amy.
Oh yeah, the sugar will kill me someday, but I'll be loving it as I'm eating that piece of pie.
Sweet Tooth would be your roller derby girl name.
Oh my god.
Here goes Sweet Tooth rolling around the corner on the sugar high.
And then I'm the one with the like shiv who's just like stabbing everybody. That's a thing, right?
You sharpen your elbows and you're just like cutting people.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like a lollipop that's like broken and you're just like a broken bottle. Because you're Sweet Tooth, you gotta have like the candy chain. Sure, going.
Makes sense. Oh, even
such a good idea. Come on, we gotta do this.
I'm really bad at roller skating, first off. And I've never been a roller derby girl, but I've played one on TV, so I've fulfilled my
rollerblading. Rollerblading.
Oh, so skating and blading.
Yeah.
Are you a blader?
Are you a blader?
Dude, I jumped on rollerblading the last week. Everybody was rollerblading. Like, the whole world was just like, and we're done. And I've spent $200.
I've been dying to go to a roller rink, man. I haven't been to one since I was like 13, dude. I really want to.
Go to them a lot when I was growing up. There's Roland.
Roland. Normally
Roland
like
what?
Rolandia.
Roland what?
So it's just like
what?
Real funny. I went to Catherine had her birthday at a Skate World or something like that.
Skate World's good. That's good.
And I hadn't been in forever. Which one is it? Roller
blade or skate?
Roller skating.
Skate
fuck.
Is a four.
It just,
In a square, and
yes.
Blade is a blade.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, can you do those at skating rinks? Can you even
take I don't think so.
I don't think so. I feel like that's... You're like the bad kid. You show up in rollerblades and like...
Yeah, you go really fast on that floor, dude.
You're wearing like a helmet.
I've said dude after almost every single one of my sentences. I gotta pull it back.
Dude quota.
I started off in the rink and was going really slowly, and Eric was with me, and we were just going real slow. And then, as the night progressed, I was able to actually move.
That was adorable. That was the right reason to use adorable.
Oh,
full circle.
And I had passed a girl had passed me like the first time I tried to get around the rink and when I was moving very slowly and choppily, and then by the time I like actually went around, she was like, oh hey, good job, you did it. And I thought, hey, thank you, but she was already gone because she was great.
That's nice.
Aww. Yeah, I like that she supported you.
Me too. Like
that's
in
nice.
Real life, not
yeah.
on a stage.
Oh. Okay, that reminds me of a crazy story in my life, and I'm going to tell you that story. Senior year in college, I went to college in Dallas, and senior year in college was the first time I moved off campus. Me and my college roommate, who I'd had all three of the years in the dorm, moved into an apartment together. And it was a ways off campus. I didn't have a car, so she drove us back and forth, so it was funsies. But our first weekend when we were living there, we decided to have a housewarming party. And so we invited everybody over to our house, and we were hanging out. And at one point, one of the maintenance guys, like, came up into the party because, you know, we had met him when we were moving in or whatever. And my roommate was, you know, of course, attractive. And so he came to, like, meet the other attractive ladies or whatever. And this maintenance guy had a golf cart because he worked at the apartment complex. All right. So then
he got around into a golf cart.
Yeah. He like came in a golf cart and he was at the party for a little while and drank a little bit with us. And then people were like, hey, you get that golf cart, huh? Let's take rides. And so people in groups of two drove around the apartment complex in the golf cart. Well, it turns out apparently one or two of the crazy golf cart couples had taken the cart off-roading onto like this like field that they had and done donuts in the field. And then some group of people had hit a car and damaged the car.
Oh, no.
So the next day, as we're waking up hungover from this housewarming party that we had had, we get a knock on the door, and it's the apartment complex, and they're like, what the hell did you do to the apartment? And we're like, what? And they're like, you caused all this damage to this field that we had, and you bashed this person's car, and, you know, you can look at, you know, we have these cameras that are showing the golf cart hitting this car and stuff like that. But we were like, well, who was in it? And they couldn't figure out who from the look. You could just see the golf car, but you couldn't see, like, who was in it. But two people had, a bunch of twos had gone out to do it. And so I, like, rounded up all those people, and they told us we were going to have to pay, like, hundreds of dollars.
Oh, man,
so we rounded everybody up, and we were like, what happened? What's going on? Who did it? And, I mean, most of them were drunk, right? They're driving a golf cart around drunk, whatever. Anyway, we established who did it, and the person who we all established did it was like, guys, I didn't do this. And we were like, come on, you were the most drunk. Everyone says they didn't do it, and you're like, well, I'm not sure, so that sounds pretty viable to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever. And so I told him how much he owed us to pay off the thing, because it was huge. And he gave us the money in $1 bills. That he had gone to the bank and had them put in like a box or something, at like a little paper box, but it was all like $1 bills, not bound, but just singles. So it was difficult to deal with. And it was something, it was a couple $100s. And he just gave us this box and was like, deal with it.
What?
And that was his way of being like mad at us and like defiant.
Huh. In that moment.
Could have been nickels.
Could have been nickels.
Nickels, that would be heavy.
Yeah, and difficult to establish.
I would immediately probably, I don't know.
Bless you.
Aside from the germs. Oh, that's what that was. Okay, bless you.
I
thought you were like hawking something up.
No.
She wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I would have to throw that on my bed and like roll around in it, I think.
Did you guys do that?
Or throw it up in the air, at least, like I just, like something.
I don't
like I
think we rolled around on the, well, maybe we did. I don't remember that we did, but I definitely remember throwing it up in the air.
Yeah.
But it was very somber, to be totally honest with you, because the whole situation, no, not the throwing of the money, the whole situation, like receiving the money, having the money, the whole situation of the money, like it was not great. Everyone was very upset about it. Because we got in a lot of trouble, and it was our first apartment, and it was like, fuck. So we were young and thought that we were going to have a big problem with it, but it hasn't affected my life, so.
You told that story really well. I was like, riveted.
It was good.
No, right?
You've given me nothing but compliments. You're so sweet.
Yes. Man, I'm just saying truths. Truth bombs. Who originally said truth bombs? Because that was like something that happened like a decade ago.
That could be your roller girl name. And then
Truth bombs?
Truth bomb? That makes just sounds like I fart myself around.
Wow. That would be great.
I propel myself with farts on my roller blades.
I guess it does sound like that.
I don't know.
Truth bombs.
If you backed away, wouldn't you just be smelling it?
Well, that was me going in a circle.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say,
see that person who's listening to the podcast.
yeah, truth bombs are normally negative, but all your truth bombs are like super positive and complimentary. You normally say like truth bomb when you hurt somebody's feeling and you're like, oh, that you wore truth that bomb. Nobody's doing that.
I can walk away from feeling bad about this because I just said truth bomb.
Truth bombs. Woo! Yeah.
Protect myself.
It's like people saying like just saying. Like I hate the phrase just saying.
Whoa,
it drives me crazy.
Guys, I just noticed the cup that you handed me with all the trail mix in it.
They got two rush cups.
Yeah.
Close. This is an insane. Was this an album cover or something?
Yeah,
I think so.
What the fuck is that? Kelsey Rogers would have so many things to say about this pentagram.
With a baby on it? I'm sure she knows a lot about Rush.
This is all like Illuminati shit.
Yeah.
Look at these people in the coats. Kelsey Rogers, you should come see this cup. You should do this podcast.
She's in South Dakota right now.
Mm-hmm. Rush, they're Canadian, so like whatever their Illuminati is.
Every time I talk to her.
What?
In the last week.
Well, she's been at Sturgis, right?
Yeah. So, Yumina, what's next up for you? What's your, like, big thing that you're working on? What's your project? What's your, like, vibe? What's happening?
Man, I haven't thought about something that I want to do for myself in a while. Like, I've just kind of been a part of other people's shows. But I'm working on a sketch thing. Not by myself, with three other people. And hopefully we'll get a show in January. Because it seems like it's kind of tough to get one this year right now.
Yeah, once it gets to be the fall, you know, everything's holiday related.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do it. Well, you know, there's Sound on Sound is out, and then Hell Yes Fest is out. Then it's Christmas. So it's just,
Yeah.
slim pickings right now. But hopefully in January we can get 2 weekends. That would be best for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be an experiment.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've been working on other people's projects mostly, but you want to put effort into working on stuff for yourself? Are there certain kinds of things that you want to express or
I want to do more solo work, but I don't necessarily want to do a solo show. Like, I thought about doing stand-up, and I've tried doing it kind of doing these, like, variety shows I've been a part of. But it still doesn't feel, it doesn't really feel right. I'm just so scared of it. I'm all so scared. It's weird to still be this scared of doing something, but I'm so afraid of stand-up. But it's definitely something I want to try.
Well, especially in the interest of what we started talking about with Mike Birbiglia, you can do stand-up in a different kind of way and just do it in your own way.
That's what everybody's... Yeah, I'm sort of...
I've been talking about that myself.
I get pretty good advice about that all the time. And it's usually, like, just do what you want to do. Like, whatever your voice, whatever your taste is.
Yeah,
making yourself laugh.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I feel like it's important to do it for yourself a little bit. Yeah, and we were talking a while back about like who we're trying to impress, and I think I'm just mostly trying to impress myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a very discerning customer of my own bullshit.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Your own worst enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh man. So I'm excited about any future work you got going on and any other projects that you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, super fun.
I'm excited.
Guys, any other questions you have for Yumina? What do you want to know? You're taking a lot of good notes, Delia.
What the fuck is on my arm?
Nothing. Probably peanut skin.
It's peanut skin, you're right. No, actually, I think I wrote some stuff down at work and actually hit everything.
So you were in New York for a little while. Are you pretty much back in Austin to stay?
I don't know.
For at least a little bit? Just kind of floating?
I have no idea. I think, you know, I don't see myself going anywhere before the end of next year.
Everybody was super excited to have you back, and I was, like, super anxious to meet you the first time.
Aw, that's... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
All hyped.
Yeah.
Overhyped.
Nah.
Oh, yeah, you were super awesome the first time I met you.
And, yeah. If there were other people, I'm going to be honest with you, Mina, and sorry anyone who's listening to this, but there's plenty of people who've moved on that if they returned, I'd be like, meh, all right, whatever. But when you came back, it was great because you care about stuff and you went on a journey and you came back and you brought that journey.
Yeah.
You didn't just go and, like, then come back and go, like, guys, everything sucks. I just want you to know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people have, like, gone to New York and L.A. or and, like, come back and been like, nah, those people are the worst. And it's like, okay, well, that's really not what any part of this is.
No.
I don't care if... I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I like meeting nice people. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to be cynical, you're going to be cynical. And for I feel sure. like for you, you went and had this wonderful journey, and it was nice. And I'm just happy that you did it and that you're still doing it.
Thanks,
and,
man.
You know, you're a high-level player and a good...
That sounds like MVP sports, like sports stuff.
High-level player. I was like, oh, now that sounds like a great idea, actually. If we did, like, a sports thing yeah. with, like, improvisers.
We haven't done that yet. We should.
That's so funny.
Cold Town's doing something right now called Title Fine that looks awesome. It's, like, an all-female short-form thing. I think it's going to be badass. It looks really great.
Yeah. Well, that's the best part is that there's so many places doing all sorts of different creative things and that no matter what, you can find and lots of different friends all around
for sure.
who are doing different projects.
Yeah, man. So much talent out there.
Well, thanks, Mina, for being with us.
Yeah. You're very welcome. This was really fun.
Thanks
so
much.
I learned a lot. I hope you guys learned something today.
Feels yeah.
good. And fuck this week's on Mondays, and it's really good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's
fuck
right.
This week every Monday at 8 p.m. at the New Movement Theater.
You can see Yumina all the time. Be super wonderful, a great host, and a wonderful leader to that crowd for sure.
Hey, stop.
Good. Thanks for listening to Yes But Why podcast.